I'll be honest with you, Mick. Anybody else? Who's from Gornal? Proper Gornal, right. So, you know what Gornal stone is? I was going to bring a Gornal stone in this morning, and I picked it up at home the other day, yesterday or Friday, and I picked it up, and there's a big slug on it, and it all looked really horrible and dirty, and I thought, well, no, I don't think I want to bring that. So anyway, I thought, I've got some images I'll put up on the screen a little bit later, but I've got a little stone here. I don't think it's quite the size that they were thinking of, but I've bought some stones. I want to talk about stones this morning. We've been talking about I will build my church, but this week I want to do something a little bit different. I think we'll get back to talking about that, but God put this word on my heart the other week, and as I was thinking about this and this picture that God gave me, Mandy said to me, I've been listening online to somebody, another church. I said, oh, hang on a second, steady on. Why are you not listening to me? And she said, the person who was preaching was talking about stones. And there's a lot of stones in the Bible, isn't there? When you think about it. The tablets of stone that God wrote the Ten Commandments on. David in the river, he picked up five smooth stones, probably similar size to that killed Goliath. And so we see lots of stones in the Bible. I'll talk a little bit more about some because we're going to finish with a really good one. And but what I want to think about, the particular stone that we've talked about and the passage that Anita read for us, is the stones of memorial or the stones of testimony. Has anybody got a testimony? Now, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to come out and share it. I mean, this week, maybe in the future, because we need to share our testimony. Has anybody got a testimony? I want to see every hand, really, because you've got a testimony, haven't you? First of all, you've got your salvation testimony, and you've got your testimony of what God has done in your life. I want to think, really, of two kinds of testimony. There's the negative testimony, where something, what I mean by that is this, where something negative has happened. It's been a difficult time. It's been a distressing time. It's been awful. It's been hard. And God has brought you through it. There's those testimonies. But there's also the testimony of how God has blessed you. Has anybody been blessed by God? Yeah? Now, I've said many times, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel because that's all about, you give money to get back. That's not the way it works. But God does want to bless us as well in the right way. Now, we're not going to talk about that particularly today, but God does want to bless us. And I've told you before that time I had a little brown envelope at our last church, probably about 8-9 years ago, that had got a cheque for £1,000 in. Sometimes God just wants to bless us. And actually, that, for me, it wasn't about the money. It was just God was showing me, I love you, I've got you, and I care for you in this. So we've all got testimonies in different ways, haven't we? And Israel, as they came out of Egypt, after 400 years of slavery, of being forced to build for them, they escaped and they were blessed with so many things. And as they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years, which we know should have only been 2 weeks' journey, wasn't it? Because of, I was thinking if we were, there's so many different sermons and directions we could go in. We could talk about obedience and disobedience. We could talk about how they were arrogant and not humble and didn't do what God did. But in all that 40 years of wandering, their clothes never worn out, ladies. There was no need to go shopping. The clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals didn't wear out for 40 years. They were blessed with manna, this thing that looked a little bit like coriander that you could gather up and you could have as much as you needed for that day. And there was quail. And there was even rocks and stone are the similar things. The difference between a rock and a stone is size. Rocks are bigger than stones. But out of a rock, God brought forth water. They had seen the testimony and the blessing of God in the wilderness. But I'm always reminded of this. In fact, can we have the PowerPoint up, Joe? Now, I don't do very often do PowerPoints because I love technology. I'm okay with technology, but technology don't seem to like me, does it? So press that square at the top there. I don't know whether this is... We'll get it up in a second. Let me read it out. We'll get it up in a second. It said this. Because as we look back on our testimonies, this is what I'm thinking about today, as we look back on our testimonies, we've got to be very careful that we don't look back with rose-tinted spectacles, haven't we? Wasn't 40 years ago better? In many ways it was. But would you want to go back to 40 years ago? Or 50 years ago? I remember as a little boy, before I started school, Monday was wash day. And my mum had to bring the little twin tub washing machine out and drag it across to the sink and plug it in. And it was my job to help sort out the different kinds of washing into piles so that it didn't whatever run and whatever. So you've got to be careful you don't look back with rose-tinted spectacles. And this is what this scripture said. This is the way that the Israelites look back on those 400 years of slavery. They forgot about all the hard work and the things that they had to do. It says this: "We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic, and forgot..." I think that's my notes there, isn't it? So yeah, it finishes there at the semicolon. "But they forgot about the bad things. They forgot what Pharaoh forced them to do." And so often we look back with rose-tinted spectacles and we think that yesteryear was better. Maybe it was in some ways, but we've got to remember what it really, really is like. And one of the things that I wanted to say was this: you know, sometimes I do this because I long for the good old days sometimes. Wouldn't it be go back? Or even that day you did something that was really enjoyable. Remember them, you've had a day out, you've been somewhere, you've had a great experience. Maybe you've come to church and God's touched you in an incredible way, or you had a day out, you've been on holiday. There are so many great memories, aren't there, that you can have. Do you ever wish you could go back and relive them? Well, here's the thing, you can't, even if you want to. And sometimes we're so much thinking about what's coming up in the future that I forget that I'm living here and now. And the truth is, we've got to remember the past in the right way. We've got to pray for and look forward to the future. But we've got to live in the present moment, haven't we? Because so often we can be so excited for what's coming up, or we look back and long for the days of old, that we miss the moment that we're in. And we can only live in the moment. I don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the day. Do you? I know what I think's going to happen. I know what the plan is. But things don't always go to plan, do they? So we have to live in the moment. And so really, what I want to say today is this, that we need to look back to help us move forward, especially in this regard, to remembering what God has done and the testimonies that he has done. I want us to be reminded today of God's goodness, of his faithfulness. I want to remind us that the Bible says that we're to walk in the newness of life, not the deadness of the past, because that's gone. God has called us to a new life. And I want us to look back in the right way and live in the moment and look and pray ahead to the future. Because God has promised us such great things. And if we did apply it to "I will build my church," as this church is 90 years old this year, I'm sure that over the years there are many highs and many lows. I was here. How many have been to this church before? Or have been here a long time? I was here as a kid till I was 15 or 16. And there were some great testimonies, but I'm sure there have been some lows as well. There have been ups and downs. But as we look back, we see God's faithfulness. And that's what I really want to get across today, is that God is with us. God is faithful. God will do what he's promised to do. And so let's be encouraged by looking back at our testimonies. Okay, will this work? There we go. John 10:10, really, really famous scripture. It's one of those that we can kind of know off by heart. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." God wants to bless us. I really do believe that he does. He wants to give us abundant life. Okay, so we all know the story of Israel leaving Egypt, yeah? Yeah, how they escaped, how they went through the Red Sea, and that the people sent them with, they were so fed up because of all of the plagues, that in the final plague, that they gave them so many things, didn't they? They were blessed with everything that they needed. And then they've got Egypt behind them, their army coming with their chariots, and ahead of them is the Red Sea. And this is their first testimony, really, of what God did, how he blessed them, and then how the Red Sea was opened up in front of them and they went through on dry land. This is a really important thing that happened, because when you see something like that, when you face the next problem, you know nothing's too big for God, don't you? Or is that just me? Is anybody else? And so that 2-week journey ended up being 40 years, but they saw the blessing of God and the favour of God and the goodness of God in everything. And they took the land eventually. And this is where we get to. They've left Egypt, they've gone around the wilderness, and now they come to take the land. And this is down to Joshua, who is the man who now is leading them across into take the new land, to take the promised land, a land that God has promised, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. In fact, I was watching something on the television the other day, and somebody had quoted that somewhere was like a land flowing with milk and honey. Not a Christian. It's one of those phrases that's embedded in culture, isn't it? It's phrases that people use. They might not know where it's come from, but it's things that they use. And so that's the point they're at. They're about to go in and take the land. And but before we look at that, I want to just look at another stone, because the Bible is full of them, and it talks about... It's so good when it's still in the right order. That was my big concern. 1 Samuel 7:12 says this: "Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" And I know some of you used to go to a church called Ebenezer, and if ever you thought, why a church is called Ebenezer? Because it seems a strange name. If I say Ebenezer, that's it, isn't it? What do you think? You think Scrooge, don't you? Ebenezer. Do you know anybody else called Ebenezer? But Ebenezer means stone of help. And it's a memorial stone to say every time you look at that stone, you remember what God has done. And when they looked at that stone, thus far God has helped us. And the truth is, we could add to that, and he will continue to help, so that we're clear on that. But it means stone of help. And Samuel erected this where God had helped, this is where the context of it, where God had helped Israel to defeat the Philistines north of Jerusalem. But in today's reading, we see that God commanded Joshua as they went into the river to pick up 12 stones, and he placed them initially where they lodged. And this is what he said. I need my glasses. Here they are. And this is what he said. Verses 6 and 7. "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." I don't know how they set them up. They must have set them up in some way that it was obvious that that it wasn't just random. I don't know if they were in a circle or in a line or however they'd been put up. But they were there so that the children would ask and say, "What does this mean to you? Why are these here?" They would ask the question. And it's great, isn't it, to... Thanks, Joe. It's great when people ask a question and they say, "What is this?" And you go, "Oh, I'm glad you've asked." Because then they can tell the testimony of what God had done. All those years ago, he parted the Red Sea, and then he had done this. And kids, you should have been here. It was amazing what God did. We walked through on dry land, and it's an opportunity to share their testimony. You know, when you've gone through the Red Sea, crossing the river is so much easier, isn't it? Because there's a precedent been set. You've seen God at work. You've seen him take you through an impossible situation. Would you say crossing the sea is impossible without a boat or a bridge? Absolutely is. You cannot do it, can you? But with God, he is the God of the impossible. And so the first thing we want to think about is this. When it comes to testimony, when it comes to what you're facing or what you have faced, is God is the God of the impossible. Because if you can do it yourself, you don't need God to do a miracle, do you? If there's a bridge, you can walk over it. If there's a ferry, you can catch the ferry. But sometimes there's nothing that anyone can do apart from God. And sometimes we just need a miracle. But we serve the God of the miraculous. And you know what, folks? We've got to really get into the reality of who God is and what he is able to do. And we've really got to get that. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. We've really got to get the power of God back and the reality of God back into our lives, haven't we? That we rely on him, we depend on him, we call on him to do the impossible. If it's not impossible and we can do it ourselves, we can do it ourselves. But sometimes we need God to do the miraculous. I know that as a church we need God to build it. We need God to fulfill what he's promised. But God is faithful and he will do it. And then it's repeated again, really, in a slightly different way. But in Joshua 4, 21 to 23, he says this. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed. It's repeated. When things are repeated, it's like it's underlining, highlighting the fact that this is important. So our testimony. We've all got a testimony, how you got saved. You've all got a testimony of how something was difficult and God brought you through one way or another. And when we share our testimony, it glorifies God, doesn't it? When you say to people, this is what I believe. First of all, let's be very, very clear. We believe in the Bible, don't we? We believe what it says. And when we get our testimony says, what the Bible says, the testimony is the reality of what the Bible preaches. When people see the situation that you've been in and how God has brought you through, and they say, that can only be a miracle. What God has done, and it glorifies God, and it highlights the goodness of God. And it highlights the truth of his word. You know, I was thinking, as we want to, you know, tell people about Jesus, that a great way to do that is to share your testimony, isn't it? Now, we've got to share Jesus. Don't mishear what I'm saying. We've got to share Jesus. It's about his, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's all about the cross. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him dying and being raised back to life. But our testimony really helps that, goes hand in hand with that when we say, this is the reality of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. You know, your salvation testimony might well be how God has turned your life around. Testimony is how God has provided, how he's helped you in times of difficulty. The prosperity gospel will tell you that life is fine all the time. It's not, is it? It's not. But life is good as well. It's a great way to show who God is, how he cares for us, and the power that he still has today. The power didn't die with the apostles. I believe with all of my heart that the power of God is still available for us today. And then point two, this is a very clear word, isn't it? These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is one of the verses you want to highlight in your Bible. Write it out, print it out, stick it on the fridge. Because we know things are going to be difficult, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. But then these are some of my favourite verses in the Bible. Because it tells us that things ain't going to be always good, but it tells us something that we're going to come through things. It says this, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I think, David, you mentioned that word this morning, didn't you? Redemption, redeemed. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers. They shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. And really, when I read that, and somebody gave me that word in July 1999, so what's that, 27 years ago. And I read that so often when I'm going through difficult times, because it's not literal fire, is it? It's not literal water that we're going through. But these speak of the challenges that we face in life, and that God says, I will bring you through it. You've got to highlight some of the words. When you pass through the waters. You don't stop in the water, you come through it, don't you? And we're jumping a bit ahead there. In fact, this is the picture that God gave me. Now, the wonders of AI. What do we think of AI? AI is an absolutely terrible thing. And it's an amazing thing as well. All depends how you use it. And this isn't exactly what I had in mind, but it's close. God gave me a picture of stones of testimony going out into a valley. The difference was my stones were a really nice sort of egg shape, and they were white and they were just beautiful. But these will do. You get the picture. I don't know if you can say, well, you can see it on there, but every stone going down that path says testimony on it. And every stone represents, so the road represents, so that's behind us. You're all facing the wrong way. Do you want to stand up and turn around? And that's, it's all right, there's one behind you as well, don't worry. That's the path behind us. And every one of those rocks there represents a testimony. At some point that you look back and you go, oh, that one there, that's the latest testimony of what God has done in my life. And you look back through there and there's lots and lots of testimonies. And I thought, you know, that's the picture I want to show. But I also wanted to show these pictures as well. There's just one there. That's the latest testimony. Now, that's the road looking forward. I don't know what testimonies lie ahead, but going forward, there's going to be testimonies ahead down that path. And you'll be putting up some of those stones. But then I asked AI to do this, and I thought, I don't know what you think of that, especially in the light of all the wildfires, but you know, I stopped and thought, I don't know, it seems a little bit inappropriate, doesn't it, with the wildfires and everything that's going on. But you know what? Some people, that is literally their experience, isn't it? It's literally. And you cannot imagine being in that situation with your house being on fire and your property and everything just being completely and utterly destroyed. But I wanted to put in a couple of things there, through the fire and through the water. And that to me is a picture of life. You've got the difficulties that the water represents. There's a stream running through there. There's the fire in the distance. But actually, can you see what else is there? It's beautiful, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if the pointer works on this. No, I don't think it does. But those green grassy parts, they represent the really nice times in life. And I think there's more of them actually than there are the other parts. But all along that path, stretching right into the distance, are stones of testimony. I think AI's overdone it there, really, because there's just one every step, isn't there? But, you know, we should have testimonies very often, shouldn't we? Not just the odd two or three along the path of life. And I've been busy with AI this week. This was from a couple of weeks ago, actually. But you get the picture, don't you? You look back through the journey of life and you've got a stone to remember you. So you can look at the one picture. You can look at the one picture and you can say, well, that's what God brought us through. But actually what we see is not the actual thing. We just see the testimony, because the thing has passed and that just reminds us of what God has done. It's like having a scar, isn't it? Has anybody got any scars on them? How long have you got? When I have my hair cut really short, you can see the scars where people have bounced bricks off my heads when I was a kid. They don't do that now, do they? I think we've become a bit too soft, haven't we? Yeah, I've had a few stitches in my head. I've had stitches in my face. And the worst one of all, you know when you do really dangerous things? Like opening a can of spaghetti. I'll show you that one after. That's really nasty, that is. Big gash in there. What does a scar do? What's the difference between a wound and a scar? A wound is when it still hurts. A scar just reminds you of what was there. And I remember that it was about 31 years ago. I remember going to A&E. I had an accident at work. And they dropped me off. This is how we worked in them days. Somebody took me to the hospital and left me there. No bus fare, no phone. And the doctor, he came to me. Now, if he did this to me today, it'd be a bit weird, but it wouldn't hurt. He put his thumb here. I got a flap of skin, blood everywhere. Sorry, kids, it's probably a bit too graphic. And the doctor puts his thumb in there and he presses really hard. And he says, "Does that hurt?" "No, it's fine." I think he was trying to see if I'd broken something. But the scar doesn't hurt now, but it reminds me of something that happened, just like these memorial stones. I want us to know that God, His promises are faithful. What it says in those verses that we read in Isaiah 43, He has promised He will be with you. Now, I've been in a situation, and I'm sure you have as well, where I thought, where is God in this? Where is God? I've said to God, "Where are you?" And I've said this before. I've prayed to God and said, "What's going on? Where are you?" And God said nothing. And then I had the realization that whether I hear God speak to me or not, He has promised in His word that He is with me. And that's where faith comes in, isn't it? In our situation, whatever we're facing, we have got to have faith that God is in it and God is with us and God is for us and God is bringing us through. Amen? The testimonies of God show us that we can trust God. That we can trust God. When it looks like all else has failed and it looks like there's no help and there's no hope, God is with us. We can trust Him. And as we look back down our road of testimony there, going back, we remind ourselves that every one of them stones was when something happened and God either blessed us or God rescued us or God brought us through. And that reminds us so that when we face the journey ahead, we know that there will be more testimonies of God's goodness, of God's love, of God's grace. It shows that we can trust Him. And I'm completely lost with my PowerPoint now. Here we go. That's where we are. In 1 Samuel 17:37, David the shepherd boy, when he's facing his latest challenge of this enormous Goliath, who I remember when Malcolm preached about this a couple of years ago, about the bottom of the cross is the size of how tall Goliath was, and David's just this young shepherd boy. And he says this: "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Now, there is a few verses earlier, David says he fought the lion and he fought the bear. David physically fought them, but it was God who delivered him. God was with him. Have you ever seen a bear? They're enormous, aren't they? You don't want to mess with bears because they ain't the cute little teddy bear things that we have at home. They're the kind of thing that will kill you. But God delivered him from the lion and the bear. He knew that he could trust God, and what God had delivered him from in the past, He would deliver him on this day. And we know the story of Goliath, and he had this great victory over God. Over Goliath. God gave him the victory over Goliath. I don't know about you, but it gives me confidence and it gives me hope to face the challenges of today, the challenges of tomorrow, and the challenges of next week. Whether that's personally, as a family, whether that's church. Because with God on our side, if God is for us, who can be against us? I always want to answer that really and say, lots of people can be against us, but actually, God is far more powerful than anybody else. We've sung earlier, and Gordon and worship team, you led us into the presence of God in a beautiful way this morning. Thank you for that. But we sang, didn't we, about the presence of God, the power of God, the name that is above every name. It gives me the confidence that having crossed the Red Sea, the Jordan is not such a challenge. So I want to encourage you today. And I've got a few of these stones here. Somebody else brought these in. I want you to, you can, how many is there? There's about 10 of them there. I'm putting that down there. That reminds me of a testimony. I'm putting that one there. That reminds me of a testimony. If you want to grab one of these and take one home, and it reminds you of a testimony. But years ago, a man gave me a book, or he gave me some money to buy a book. He was bedridden. He says, Nigel, he says, when you go to your new church, I want you to go and buy a book and write down all the things that God has done. And I've got a book where I've wrote different things in, and it's so good to go back and look at it and remind ourselves, because you forget, don't you? You forget, don't you? But as you look back, and I look back through that book, and I go, and that to me, that's the equivalent of a stone. I look back and it says, this is, you know, it might be a word that God has given me, a verse that God has shared with me, or it might just be that, you know, this is what God has done. This was the difficulty, this was the challenge, and this is how God overcame it. It's a great way to share our faith. It encourages others when they're in a situation. You know, I've sat with so many people over the years in a pastoral sense where they're going through a difficulty. And I can be very, very sympathetic to anybody, whatever their situation is. But when it's a situation you've gone through yourself, there's something different to sympathy. It's called empathy, because you understand exactly how they feel. When you're sympathetic, you're saying, well, yeah, this I can understand this must be an awful situation. I can only imagine what it must be like. But when you've gone through it yourself, you have an empathy that says, I know exactly how you feel. And when you look at somebody else's testimony and you say, they've come through it. If you spend time with somebody who's has been through the situation you're in, there's a greater understanding, and you say, how do you do it? It's the grace of God. It's God is just with me in that situation. And there have been times when I've sat with people, I think, well, yeah, I've been through that situation, so I can speak from experience. I can speak knowing exactly how you feel. There's one last stone I want to remind you of. And it's really profound and it's really obvious. It's the stone that was rolled away. And as I think of that as a memorial stone, really that stone, I suppose, in some ways we could say we're reminded of that when we take communion. Because when we take communion, what are we reminded of? We're reminded of his death for us, for our sins, that has brought us out of death to life, out of darkness into light. He has redeemed us. He saved us. But I'm also reminded of a stone that was rolled away. And if that tomb is still there, and if that stone was still there, if you were there in Jerusalem and you saw it, you would say, that stone reminds me of so many things. Of his forgiveness, of his grace, of his mercy, of his love. Of the fact that Jesus not only said he loved us, but he demonstrated it on the cross and by being buried, and having that stone rolled away reminds us that Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. You see, we don't just have a hope, do we? A vague, things might be okay. We have an assurance, a solid kind of hope that tells us, having come from heaven, having died on a cross, having rose, having been buried in a tomb, having the stone rolled away, being raised back up to life, going back to heaven, we have an assurance, folks, he's coming back. He's coming back. And you know, I was with some friends the other day, and they were laughing about, I don't know why they were laughing about it, but they were like, they didn't believe in climate change and whatever. And I don't know what you think about climate change. But I tell you what climate change is. It's a sign that Jesus is coming back, isn't it? Whatever you think is causing it, whether it's natural, whether it's man-made pollution, I ain't here to debate the rights and wrongs of that kind of thing. But when they were talking about it this other day, I thought, I know what it is. It's a sign that Jesus is coming back. When we see these fires and we see all sorts of things that are happening. And things are definitely happening, aren't they? Can you remember a summer like this? 1976? I remember it well. Well, I remember it. I don't know about remember it well. It's been 50 years ago. But I think it's a sign, really. It's one of many signs, isn't it? Another earthquake in Japan. How many earthquakes we're having? How many wars we're having? And if I look at the news, I've said it so often before, it's a bit depressing, but you know what? Let's look to Jesus, because he's coming back. These are signs that our hope is sure, that actually one day Jesus is coming back. Let me just close with these last couple of thoughts. We need to be real about God, and he needs to be real in our lives. Not just in our mind or in our imagination, but he actually needs to be real in our lives day to day. He needs to be real in our church. He needs to be real in us so that we can go out and take Jesus to people who don't know him. I said earlier, I've got a father-in-law at home who doesn't know Jesus. Do I want him to get better? I do, yeah. But what I really want is him to get saved. And I know some of us have got friends and family that above all things, we desperately, desperately want them to get saved. And we've prayed for that for a long time. The gospel's been shared with them. You've been witnesses to them. We've just got to keep praying and keep believing that God is just going to tug on their heartstrings and something's going to change in their lives. You know, there's a lot of people who have become Christians over the years that you go, I cannot believe that they've got saved. There's nobody too hard-hearted, too far away from Jesus. So I want to encourage you to continue in faith and to keep praying. And then this, I've got to show you this last image, because otherwise it was a waste of AI really. But this is a picture of a shepherd. And this is where the shepherd leads us. That water looks very passable, doesn't it? Without a miracle. Looks very calm. You know, the sheep need calm water to drink. They won't drink out of a fast-rushing stream. And that's just a beautiful image, isn't it, of great pastures with a shepherd who's looking after his sheep. This is what Psalm 23 says. We know it so well, we probably don't need it on a PowerPoint, but here it is anyway. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know, let me just highlight that verse 4. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. So, Father, we thank you that, Lord, as we... Lord, let me just encourage folks just to write down our testimonies to remember, so that we remember them, to share them with people. But we're so thankful that we have testimonies that show you were with us, and we know that you are with us. And because of that, we know that you will continue to be with us. We thank you, Lord, that we'll fear no evil, Because you're with us, for no other reason. Because you're with us. So help us, Lord, I pray, to share our testimony, to share our faith. And for those in our families, Lord, who we desperately, desperately want to get saved, who need to get saved, Lord, will you just touch their heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Just bring a revelation, Lord, because these are the people we're talking about, people who have heard the gospel, who have seen a witness, who know about our lives, know we go to church, know what we believe. Lord, I pray that you'll soften their hearts. Just give them a revelation, Lord. Open their eyes, the eyes of their heart, Lord. The eyes of their spirit, as it were, Lord. The eyes of their soul to the reality of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.